Luke chapter 19, if you would stand with me and we'll read just one verse, verse number 10. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Again, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray. Lord, bless our morning service today. Meet with us as I preach from the Word of God. And Lord, may we in our lives ensure that we emphasize the things that you want us to emphasize. May we stand behind those causes that you desire us to stand behind. Lord, may your people be helped and encouraged and edified by the preaching of the Word of God today. May Jesus Christ be lifted up, and may you be honored and glorified, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This morning, I want to preach a message entitled, "Save the Sinners." Friday evening, the family and I were driving in Terre Haute, and twice we came upon cars which were covered with bumper stickers, at least the backs of those cars. And it was obvious that both of the drivers had causes that they felt strongly in favor of. However, their views were decidedly different. One was in favor of saving the wetlands, and among other things, and they probably would also be in favor of saving the bald eagles, the spotted owls, and the polar bears. And if I recall correctly, the other vehicle would have been more of a God and country type of person, choosing rather to save America and individual freedoms rather than the polar bears. And I think most of us would probably be more sympathetic to the God and country type person rather than the save the earth activist. And while we wouldn't prefer animals to be extinct, except for maybe possums and snakes and things like that, we probably would not shed a lot of tears if all the polar bears were gone. After all, I doubt that it would really alter our lives very much. However, I can't help but wonder if either of the owners of these vehicles put their emphasis in the right place. People's bumper stickers appear, at least to me, to demonstrate what is most important to a person. Otherwise, why would they take the time to advertise that particular cause? And it makes me ponder this question. The question is, what is the most important cause? And if we were to understand the most important cause in our day and age, shouldn't we be supporting that cause? Again, let me first of all try to give some possibilities this morning to that question, what is the most important cause? Because some people today appear to think that the most important cause in all the world is indeed to save the polar bears. If you pay attention to current events and news stories, you've probably read quite a few stories about the poor polar bears. Evidently, their habitat is shrinking due to the melting of certain ice caps, and so some feel that the polar bears could be in danger. Their hunting grounds are shrinking, and they will have to compete with one another, and perhaps this would cause the polar bears to decrease in number. The arguments for the polar bears include the following. Each animal has significance in an ecosystem, and therefore, if they're gone, that has the potential to alter it for every animal or individual that's living within that ecosystem. And I don't doubt that every animal has a purpose on this earth. But I don't doubt that because God created them. And so he created them for a purpose. Maybe some things God created just to be beautiful. I don't know. I mean, the flowers certainly are beautiful to look upon. But I think we discover as we examine those flowers and the habitats in which we find them that they have an additional purpose, not just to be beautiful. Flowers are beautiful to attract the insects, and those insects then pollinate different vegetation as a result. Some people say that we need the fur and the meat for polar bears, and therefore we wouldn't want them to go extinct. Of course, that probably wouldn't be what the person would think that had the bumper stickers all over their car. We might have an overpopulation of animals, other animals that the polar bears eat if they decrease in number or go extinct. We might have an overabundance of seals, and therefore the fishermen might have to compete with the seals for the creatures that they eat. And so, again, we need to save the polar bear, some people say. And even the very first reason I saw on one particular website for saving the polar bears is because they're cute. Especially the babies. You ever seen a nice little white polar bear? The cutest little thing. And how could anybody want to harm a cute little white furry animal? I've heard it said that the polar bear population has actually increased by 100% since the 1970s. So maybe this cause appears to be a little bit misguided. Maybe it's based on emotional appeal rather than any real substance. However, even if what these people say about the polar bears is true and they need to be saved, is this the right emphasis? Should we be putting our efforts and our money behind the cause of saving the polar bears? I don't think it's the most important cause in the world. What about saving the wetlands? I mean, now here we're talking about not just one particular animal, but we're talking about potentially lots of different animals, because there are lots of different animals and there's even lots of unique vegetation that grows in a wetland. So maybe we need to get behind the cause of saving the wetlands, the wetlands, the swamps, if you will. I mean, even us conservatives, it certainly gives us a wonderful place to hunt. I don't know if they call them wetlands, those little areas off to the side of the Mississippi River, but there's a lot of duck hunters that have their little leafy stick shacks where they shoot all the ducks from. Those wetlands provide a barrier between the ocean and the land. They serve as wastewater purification systems. The farms, with the runoff of chemicals, they work their way through the wetlands, and the waters are, as a result, cleaned. I don't know where I was. It's been some years ago. Maybe it was even something I saw on a documentary or a film, probably Christian-based, but they took what you might consider a wetland, and they ran wastewater through it. And, you know, it went through rocks, and then it went through dirt, soil. It went through the roots of vegetation. And the time you took that wastewater through this contraption that they had built that would have been very similar to a wetland, at the end, the water was actually drinkable, and someone would take it and drink it. Now, that may not sound very attractive to you, but really that's what happens with all of the waste water in the world. It goes through the purification system of the earth. And then when it gets back down there into the holes where we dig our wells, it's purified and it's clean, and that's where we get our drinking water. So maybe the cause that we need to get behind is saving the wetlands. But I don't think that's the most important cause in all the world. What about the cause of some to save the planet? Here, we're not talking about one particular animal, one particular species of animal. We're not talking about one particular area of planet Earth, but we're talking about the whole planet. Some tell us that this planet is in danger. But it won't be long, and life won't be able to be sustained on planet Earth. After all, it's getting warmer. It feels like it outside today, doesn't it? Yesterday. Areas that used to have trees, they're becoming urbanized. Areas with lakes and streams are becoming commercialized. And this is all having an effect, they say, on the climate of the earth, which has the potential to destroy life on the earth. Is this a cause, then, that we need to get behind? I mean, none of us like, I mean, we're Baptists, independent Baptists. We don't like change. I mean, every time I tell our young people we're going to change something, oh, no. I mean, they've already picked up on this attitude. We're independent Baptists. We don't like change. I mean, come on, independent Baptists make fun of me because I have a BlackBerry now. We don't like change. I think some change is good. I think this thing is great, okay? It's my BlackBerry. I was playing with my phone, and Lisa was out in the garage talking to me. She said, BlackBerries need to be 5 foot apart. I'm thinking, what? I've not heard that. And then I understood she was talking about the BlackBerry she brought from back home that she's going to plant in the ground. There was a time when they didn't have air conditioning. I'm glad that changed. Amen. There are some things that need to change. When you start with imperfection, I always say, change is good.
That's right.
When you have perfection, there's no need for change. The Word of God, the methods of the Bible and reaching people for the cause of Christ, those things, they don't ever need to change. Right and wrong doesn't change. That stuff never changes, but some change is good. I mean, I go back to Grafton, all those places I used to ride my motorcycle, they're all urbanized, commercialized. I mean, the water park is right there in the midst where we'd come down off the motorcycle trails. The Grafton Hill subdivision, those we called those the fire trails, and that's where we used to ride our four-wheelers and motorcycles. Now all it is houses or ground being sold off to build a house. Me and my brother used to ride our motorcycles out to the bluffs and look out across the Mississippi River over into Missouri. Now there's just a great big house there. I mean, that disturbs me. But it's not because the earth is going to die as a result of it. I just don't like change like that. I still want those things to be motorcycle trails. I don't know if we could effectively destroy the planet if we tried, but that's not my point. What if they're right and the planet is dying? Is that the most important cause that there is in the world? I don't think so. And I don't think most of us would be very apt to get behind the cause of saving the polar bear, or saving the wetlands, or saving the planet. But some of us may get behind this cause that's becoming popular today, and that is Save America. I mean, America is quickly becoming a much different country than what it has been traditionally. America's Christian heritage is changing. America's biblical morals are changing. America's work ethic is changing. There are more people that want to live off of other people's labors rather than laboring for themselves. America's tax burden is quickly increasing. America's freedoms are being taken away, and now we can't even choose not to purchase health care. Don't tell me we're not losing our freedoms. Some people want to take away our guns. Some people want to take away our right to homeschool. Some people want to take away our right as parents to make decisions as we feel best for our children. Some people, if they had their way, they wouldn't allow you to spank your children in a correct and a biblical manner. Christian ministries cannot even continue on nowadays without the state's approval and involvement. Yes, this country of ours, the country that we love, is fastly deteriorating. And someone would ask, isn't America worth saving? Sure it is. But is it the most important cause in the world? No, it is not. The most important cause in the world is not saving the polar bears. It's not saving the wetlands. It's not saving the planet. It's not saving America. And yet these are the causes that people are getting behind. These are the causes that people advertise for on the back of their vehicles. These are the causes that people put on the fronts of their t-shirts. And yet these are not the causes that you and I ought to get behind. Because they're not the most important cause in all of the world. If we want to determine what the most important cause is in all the world, we need to turn no other place than the Bible. And the Bible, if we look at the Bible and we look at what Jesus gave his attention to, what he gave his efforts to, then I think that we can consider that the most important cause in all of the world. All we need to do is to look and to see what Jesus instructed us to give our attention to, and we need to consider that our most important cause. What is that cause? Jesus said in our text, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did Jesus come to this earth? To seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus did not come to save the spotted owl and the polar bear. Jesus did not come to save the wetlands over polar ice caps. Jesus did not come to save planet Earth from the industrious world. No, he came, according to our text, to save the sinners.
Yeah.
Put that on a t-shirt, folks. Put that on a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Save the sinners. Because that's Jesus' emphasis in the Gospels. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In other words, this is the most important cause in all the world.
Yeah.
Jesus sat down with publicans and harlots, and the Pharisees called him upon it. And he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus preached to the harlots. Jesus ministered to the publicans. Jesus went to the fornicators, instructed the adulterers. Jesus went to save the sinners.
Yeah.
In Luke 15 and verse 4, Jesus said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.
Yeah.
Jesus said to these men that questioned what he did and what he spent his time doing, if you, as a shepherd, had lost one of your sheep, maybe 99 of them were safely in the flock and there was one that had went astray, wouldn't you go in search of that one until you found it? And when you found it, wouldn't you come home rejoicing and inviting others to come and to rejoice with you? Jesus gave another illustration, another parable, and that was the woman who lost her coin, how she would sweep that house from morning till evening, not leaving any corner uncovered until she found that coin. And when she found it, she'd be calling her friends and saying, I found my coin. And then, of course, he gave the account of the prodigal son who was safely at home but went his own way. And yet that boy's father waited on the porch for him to return. And when he did, he rejoiced. Jesus is like the shepherd. He goes in search of the lost sheep. Jesus is like the woman who searches for the sinner. Jesus is like the father sitting on the porch longing for his son to return. Jesus, what I'm saying is, he wants to save the sinners. Jesus wants to save the sinners. I'm not really the bumper sticker type Christian. At some point, I'd probably be a poor testimony if I had some kind of Christian bumper sticker on my vehicle. But I just like to think that our Christianity would extend further than bumper stickers or t-shirts. Because I find many people have Christian bumper stickers and Christian t-shirts, but their lives don't represent someone who's living in accordance with the Word of God. Romans 5:6 says, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Again, I highlight these verses to just simply demonstrate to you, Jesus' emphasis while he was on earth was to save sinners. That was his emphasis. That was his cause. And that was the cause that he wanted his disciples to get involved in. That is the cause that Jesus wants each and every one of us to get involved in. He said in some of his last words to his disciples in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Folks, if we get behind that cause, then we no doubt will spend the rest of our life trying to fulfill it. Because there's nearly 6-7 billion people on the face of the earth. If we get behind this cause, you know what? We'll never have sufficient funds alone to fulfill this cause, to meet this requirement that Jesus has given us, but nonetheless, we should be trying.
Yes, sir.
Jesus' last words to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, they asked the question, "When are you going to restore the kingdom?" That's what they were interested in. And he said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." He says, don't you concern yourself even about this spiritual truth that is when the kingdom's going to be established. Don't concern yourself with that. I have another task for you to give your energies to, and that is the task of reaching the multitudes with the gospel, the task of being a witness for Jesus Christ. You know, young people, it seems to be, are the ones that get behind different causes. Maybe they want to find purpose in life. Well, I tell you what, you should be more interested in finding purpose in the afterlife. If you want to get behind a cause that will make a difference, you follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. You don't worry about saving the polar bears or saving the planet. You worry about saving the sinners. Let those other things take care of themselves. There's enough people working for those causes. Jesus needs a few good soldiers. I've said these very things to some people, but they object. But the spotted owls, his habitat is being destroyed, and he's going to starve. The stray cats and dogs, they'll die without homes. People are so gooped up. One church had a little box for gifts that could be given for the stray cats in the neighborhood. Sorry about this, but this is what I thought. I thought about just dropping a couple of bullets in there. Is that mean of me? Not that I really would do that, but I see that and I'm thinking, you know what? Don't we have enough to do in trying to reach sinners for Christ? Again, take care of the cats if you want. But man, get it out of the church. That's just my own personal opinion. What about the environment? Somebody still objects. What about planet Earth? We're destroying the Earth. We must recycle or we're all going to live in filth and trash. We just got to do something. My answer would be, which is more severe and in need of our attention? The possibility of warming temperatures on the Earth or the temperature of hell? The disappearance of wetlands or the absence of one drop of water in hell. Remember the rich man, he lifted up his eyes in torments. He saw Abraham afar off, and he desired that Abraham would just dip the tip of his finger in water and give him one drop to cool his tongue. And that wasn't possible. Which is more severe and in need of our attention, the extinction of species or the eternal damnation of a soul in hell? You see, folks, the Bible declares there is a hell, there is a lake of fire, and it is hot, and people without Christ are going there forever and ever.
Yes, sir, yes, they have.
And therefore, Jesus wants us to get behind his cause of saving the sinners.
Yes, sir.
Because he knows of their eternal destruction,
yes, sir,
if they don't get saved. And you can waste your time with these other causes, but it ain't going to make a bit of difference on the other side of eternity. But if you give yourself to saving sinners, you might think, what can I do? I'm just one person. You know what? I've not seen hundreds or thousands of people saved in my ministry. I don't know if I've seen dozens. I don't make little notches. I can't remember who was saved last year. I can barely remember who was saved this year as a result of my ministry. But as Greg testified just a moment ago, there were two people, not solely due to my efforts, but in part due to my efforts being at camp and preaching and witnessing, that were saved. And as Greg testified, that's two people that have escaped the flames of hell. And that's more important than if we save all the polar bears, stray cats, and spotted owls put together.
That's right.
Our business as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, is to go out and to be a witness for the Lord so that he can save sinners. No, I'm not encouraging you to put that on your vehicle. I'm not encouraging you to wear a t-shirt that says save the sinners, but you need to write that on your hearts and go out into the world and try to help sinners be saved. That's a cause to get behind.
Yes,
that's the cause Jesus was interested in.
Yes,
and that's the cause he wants us to be interested in. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost would impress the truth that I'm trying to convey on each and every heart here this morning. Lord, help us to see lost sinners for what they are, people in need of a Savior. Help us not to lift our noses towards them or to turn and go the other way thinking ourselves better than they. Lord, we are just a sinner saved by grace. And if we had not been touched by thy hand, we no doubt would be wallowing in our sin still today. So Lord, help us to realize that we have an obligation to go to the lost world around us and to preach the gospel to them. Lord, I pray that you'll use the people of this church to reach our communities for Christ. Lord, help our young people even to be bold in their witness. Help them, Lord, to not be ashamed to invite their peers to church. Help us adults not to be ashamed to pass out gospel literature, gospel tracts, and Lord, as we do so, may it make a difference. May you, Lord, encourage your people by helping them to see fruit for their labors. I pray that each and every person that's a part of this church would see individuals come to this church and be saved and grow in the Lord as a result of their efforts. Lord, we feel it a privilege to be used of thee. And I just pray we each be faithful servants for the cause of Christ. So God, take the message this morning and use it for thy glory. Use it for the benefit of thy people and use it to draw the lost unto thyself. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn number 303, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. 303. And if you are here this morning and you're not saved and you want to be, I encourage you to come forward during this invitation and make known your desire to be saved. 303.